Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 1 and Deuteronomy chapter 10. Numbers and Deuteronomy are near the beginning of your Bible. They are the third and fourth books, so it goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they're the fourth and the fifth books. And I need to get back to school. I need school to start back up again. But we're continuing our series called Face to Face, where we're talking about how you and I can have face-to-face encounters with God, how God wants us to be intimately known by Him and that we intimately know Him. This last week, I attended the Global Leadership Summit. It's a leadership conference put on by Willow Creek, and Highland Park Church hosted it, and had an opportunity to go there, learn many great things about how to be a better leader for the church, for people in business, for the community, for being a leader in your home. And Bill Hybels, the pastor of Willow Creek, shared a story about a situation that his father put him in. Bill's dad would put him in difficult circumstances, and then he would say two things to him: figure it out and don't call me. Okay? He was teaching Bill resourcefulness. Now, what Bill's dad did to him today might be considered abuse today, or neglect, or at least very poor judgment. But when Bill was 11 years old, he talked about he wanted to learn how to ski, so his father arranged for him to go on a ski trip in Colorado. They lived in the eastern part of the United States. And so what his dad did, though, is he wasn't going to accompany Bill. He was sending 11-year-old Billy to Colorado on his own. He purchased him a train ticket, put him on the train, and he said, "This is the hotel you're staying at. This is the mountain you're going to ski on. It's a 12,000-foot mountain. Go make the trip, learn how to ski. Figure it out, and don't call me." Bill got on the train. He traveled across. He didn't even know where Colorado was in America, okay? He gets to Colorado. He gets off the train, and he discovers that Aspen is 40 miles from the train station. And if this 11-year-old boy has to figure it out, so he figures out and he makes his way to the hotel that he's staying at in Aspen. He arrives at the hotel, gets checked in, everything's fine, but when he goes to the ski lift, he realizes that there's no transportation to ski lift. He has to figure it out. And so he figures it out and he makes it to the ski lift. He takes the lift to the top of this 12,000-foot mountain, and when he's up on the top of the mountain, he doesn't have any lessons. He has nothing. He has to figure it out. He skied most of the way down on his bum, you know, down the mountain. But he figured it out. And last week, as we began talking about having this close, intimate, face-to-face relationship with God, we learned that all of us are priests. Now, when we say the word priest, many times we think of a person, you know, in a all dressed in black with a clerical collar or beautifully ornately decorated robe or something like that. And we might say, well, we also think of someone who's maybe celibate for life, and we'd say, you know what, that's not for me, okay? And we say, what does it mean when it says, God says we are priests? Does that mean we have to be celibate for the rest of our life, put on these black clothes? Or what is a priest? And here's the thing, our Heavenly Father is not like Bill Hybels' dad, who says, figure it out. Instead, he gives us descriptions in his word of what priests do. And that's what we're learning about last week and this week, because next week we're going to talk about some practical tips for praying, but the practical tips we're going to give you in the next few weeks that follow all flow back to our identity as priests. And if we don't have this understanding of who, of what does it mean to be a priest, of what our identity is, we will not effectively pray. And so take a look in your notes this morning. On the back of your bulletin, we have your sermon notes, and it says that every Christ follower is a priest. If you have asked Jesus Christ into your life, if you have confessed your sin, if you said, Jesus, I'm making you the leader of my life, you're the master, you're the king, I want to serve you, I'm committing myself to you. If you have made a decision to be born again, then you are a priest. So how many priests do we have in the house this morning? Raise your hand if you're a priest. That's great. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a priest. And so the next question is, what do priests do? What do priests do? And we touched on this last week, is the first thing priests do is priests minister to God. Priests minister to God. And that means as we minister, we worship. But worship is not just singing songs. Worship is giving value or worth to God. We learned last week that worship always involves giving. It always involves sacrifice, that worship costs us something. It means that I'm valuing, if I'm worshiping God, I'm valuing His ways above my ways. It means that I value His desires over my desires. It means that I honor Him when I bring a sacrifice of praise and my life is falling apart around me. I don't feel like praising, but I'm going to praise Him and recognize that He's just as much God during the situation as He was before the situation, and He hasn't changed. It's just my circumstance, and He's still worth the praise and the glory and the honor, and I don't let it affect my attitude. I don't let it make me grumble. It's living a life that in my choices, my circumstances, my relationships, I'm giving value and honor and glory to God. That's what priests do, is we minister to God. Now, there is a second thing that priests do, and this is where we're going to kind of camp out today on, and it's in your notes this morning. Priests minister to people. Priests minister to people. Not only do we minister to God, but we minister to people. We help people worship God, give God value and honor, just as we give God value and honor. Priests are the link between God and others. We are the link. One of the words that the Bible uses for worship is latruo, and that word means to minister, to serve, and it sums up the concept of a bondservant. A bondservant was a slave, someone who was brought into slavery, and this slave, after they paid off their debt, they were released, but the bondservant says, you know what? I love my master so much that I am willingly going to bind myself to him and serve him out of love. Before it was obligation, but now I'm going to serve him out of love. And so that is the concept of latruo, is a bondservant, one who says, I am going to serve out of love. And that's one of the words that it uses for worship. And so a servant meets the needs of his master. A servant meets the needs of others. So whatever the master desires, that's what the servant does. And what does God desire? God desires people. That's what God desires. God desires people. So serving God means serving His desires, and His desire is people. One of my roles as a priest is to serve others. Now, a lot of times we're good with the fact, oh yeah, I'll serve you, God, I'll worship you, God. But God, you want me to serve others? Sometimes they're cantankerous. Sometimes they're annoying. Sometimes they're frustrating. You just want to pull your hair out. And by the looks of it, some of you have had some really frustrating people in your lives, you know. But, you know, people can be annoying, and it is hard to minister to them. But that's, as a priest, that is what God has called us to do. Peter, who is one of Jesus' closest friends, knew about the incredible love and value that Christ had for people. And so when he wrote his second letter to the church in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, this is what Peter said, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's how much God desires people. He desires everyone to be in relationship with Him, for everyone to repent of their sin, to turn from their sin, to follow God, to accept God's gift of mercy and grace and love and forgiveness and acceptance and to walk with Him. That's God's desire. And so that needs to be the desire that we minister to. In your notes, it says this statement, and this is the big idea of the whole day, okay? Priests connect people to God. As a priest, that's one of my main jobs, is to connect people to God. That's why we've entitled today's message, Connections. Because as a priest, I am to go throughout life helping people set up connections with God, setting things up so people get linked to Him. We bridge the gap. Picture it like this. You go out to your car after church today, and you're in a hurry because you want to get out to Ayers Natural Bridge for the picnic and the baptism service. So you get out to your car, you hop in the car, and you turn the ignition. There's nothing. Your car is dead. It will not go anywhere. And so there's someone in the parking lot, and they drive up to you in their car. And they park their car right in front of yours. And what do? They go and they pull out a set of jumper cables. And they connect the cables to their car and to your car, to the batteries, to each other. And they give you a jump. And in that moment, your car, which was dead, now roars to life. Where there was no power, no energy, no hope for you to go get a picnic meal and have a great day of fellowship, you would have been stranded in the parking lot eating maybe leftover crackers that you put in your child's nursery bag or the M&Ms that were under the seat. You know, instead of you being stranded, you now have power and energy. You can get to where you're going. All because there was a connection. You could take those cars and park them next to each other all day long and there would be no power transferred if it wasn't for the jumper cables. You could let it sit a week, a month, a year, and absolutely nothing would happen if it wasn't for the cables that provided the connection from what was dead to what's alive, to what was powerless, to what is powerful. And friends, that's what priests are. We provide the connection. You and I provide the connection. If you and I don't connect people to God, no one will, because God has chosen to work in this world through people. People get connected to God by people. When someone has a financial need, God just doesn't put $1,000 inside of their house or on the doorstep. You know, God doesn't just ring the doorbell and there's an envelope there and they come and there's $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever they need. No, God lays it on a believer's heart and He says, I want you to be the connection of my provision. And so that person, they take the blessings that God has given them and they connect it and give it to the person in need. When someone needs salvation, God uses a person to witness to them. Very seldom does God just show up on the scene and knock someone off a horse like He did with Saul and minister to him and they get saved. I mean, there's rare opportunities, but most of the time God says, hey, Craig, I want you to have a conversation with Dennis. Craig, I want you to pray for Nancy. Craig, I want you to be my connection for healing or salvation or whatever it is. God uses us to connect people to Him. And if there's no connection, then there's no God moving in people's lives. When someone is hurting, it is the priest in all of us that connects them to the comfort of God. When someone is worried, priests connect them to the peace of God. When someone needs guidance, priests share wisdom that link them to God and His plans. When someone is down, priests share the encouragement of God. Priests teach, they admonish, they inspire, they rebuke, they come alongside. Priests connect others to God. And the devil is aware of this. The devil knows how God works. And He doesn't want people to be connected to God. And so here's the thing. You're a priest, you're ministering to God, and the devil says, okay, you're going to go after God, that's fine. But if I can keep you distracted from your other priestly duty of ministering to people, that's fine. Because it'll just be a nice little gathering of Christians in church, and nobody else will be saved. We're hoarding all the dividends of the oil wells to ourselves, and no one's coming in until the oil wells run dry. And that's what a lot of churches do. We are so consumed with my life, my problems, what's going on, that we do not realize we are priests who have to minister to the world. That has been our assignment all along. That has been the purpose of the cross, that we would be witnesses, that we would receive power to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost part of the world. You and I connect people to God. You see, the devil wants you to get so bogged down in your problems that you're just so preoccupied that you're not thinking about anyone else. Or he wants you to get so caught up in the busyness of your schedule. I got to do this and that and this and that, that you're not even thinking, God, who do you want to bring across my path today to minister to? Or maybe you come home from work so tired that you don't have any emotional energy left to connect with your kids, with your spouse. Or if you're a stay-at-home parent, you're so wore out in the day that when your spouse comes home and your kids come home from school, you have no energy to connect with them. The devil will do everything in his power to keep the church from being the priests, from connecting others to God. We need to be aware of this. I think this is probably one of the greatest things that makes the Church of Jesus Christ ineffective, is we don't realize I am a priest who connects others to God. So, say it with me. I am a priest. What do priests do? Connect people to God. Hey, you're good. You got it. Now, here's the next question. How do I do that? Figure it out and don't call me. I'm kidding. God tells us in His Word. I want you to take a look at Numbers chapter 1, verse 49. How do we connect people to God? If you're taking notes this morning, number one, the first thing that we do is we set up meeting places for other people to meet God. We set up meeting places in Numbers chapter 1, starting in verse 49. It says, only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor take a census of them among the church of Israel. Remember last week we learned why God wanted everyone to be priests, but we learned why Levi was chosen because of the golden calf. If you missed last week's message, you can go to casperfaith.com, go to our media page, and you can get caught up on it. But God wanted everyone to be priests, but it turned out only to be Levi. You can learn about it on our website, on the podcast. And Levi, it says in verse 50, you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, over all its furnishings, and over all things that belong in it. They, the Levites, shall carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They shall attend to it and camp around it. And when the tabernacle is to go forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall set it up. The outsider who comes near shall be put to death. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, everyone around his own camp, everyone by his own standard according to their armies. But the Levites, they will camp right around the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of testimony. It was the priest, the Levites, the priest's responsibility to set up, to tear down, to transport, to guard, to attend to the ministry of the tabernacle. Priests took care of it. We see that right there in Numbers 1. The tabernacle was kind of like a tent. It was a dwelling place that was set up. And this was the place that God had set apart and consecrated as a meeting place between Himself and the people. So the tabernacle was the meeting place for God to connect with people. And so, as a priest who sets up the tabernacle, that is our job. We set up meeting places between God and other people. I want you to think about that.
God wants you to set up a meeting place between you, between him and the lady who's behind you in line at Walmart. When you're at the car dealership, God wants to set up a meeting place and use you to set up a meeting place between him and the car salesman. And man, Jesus knows those car salesmen really need him, don't they? God uses us to set up a meeting place between him and our family members, our husbands, our wives, our kids, our employees, our employers, our classmates, as some of you are getting ready to go back to school. We set up meeting places with God. Peter, Jesus' best friend, remember him? He wrote about this in his first letter to the church in chapter 2, verse 5. He says, you're living stones, you're being built up a spiritual house, a tabernacle. You're being built up a tabernacle. You see, friends, as Christ's followers, we are spiritual tabernacles. The presence of God resided in the tabernacle. So where I go, I am taking the presence with me, and wherever I go, I am to set up the tabernacle and as a priest, try to arrange a meeting between God and other people. Maybe someone needs encouragement. You give them a word of encouragement. Maybe God opens a door for you to witness salvation. Maybe someone is sick. How many times have we been, someone is sick and God has prompted us, go pray for them. Man, I'm not going to pray for them. And God's saying, go pray for them. You're saying, God, but what if they're not healed? I'm going to look like a fool. And God's saying right back, what if they are healed? I have prayed for people and nothing has happened. There's also been times I have prayed with people and they were supernaturally healed. And when I was working at a factory, it was broadcast all around the factory within 1 hour. Craig healed me. It's like, I didn't heal him. But it opened up a door and God was brought glory. And there was a meeting point between this guy and God who had been antagonistic to God, who did not like God. And people around the plant heard it. And one of the ladies who hated pastors because every pastor in her life had been a philanderer, an adulterer, or a thief, and she didn't trust him. God was showing, hey, I care about people. Don't write me off because you've seen some bad examples from some people who maybe were facade priests or they were Pharisees. God wants to use us to set up meeting places between him and others. That takes sensitivity because if I am not connected to the power source, then how do I get tangled up here? Oh, wow. That is life, isn't it? And that happens to us. How many times you get tangled up? You say, it's just too hard to make a connection with God. And yet God says, if you're not connected with me, and you let the tangles of life say, forget it, I'm just going to drop it, not do anything, there's no way I can connect with others. And sometimes we're not intimately connected with God, and we might try to connect with people. We've got nothing to offer them because we're not connected to him. I've got to be connected with him because as I'm connected with him in prayer, and we're going to talk about the next few weeks, that's where I get the power and the wisdom and the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing. When God wanted to move the tabernacle, there was a cloud above it. And when the cloud moved, the priest knew it's time to pick up the tabernacle and move it. The priests watched the cloud. And friends, we have the Holy Spirit. And we need to be sensitive so that when the Holy Spirit moves, that we are moving and taking the tabernacle in that situation. Every place the tabernacle went where it was brought obediently, when the priest moved it obediently, there was brought life, there was brought mercy, fertility, victory, and war. When they went to warfare, the wars that God told them to fight, and they took the Ark of the Covenant in there, God did powerful things in their lives. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's take a look at the second thing, that the second way that we connect people to God, that we minister to them. Number two is we carry God's presence. We carry God's presence. This is where we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. And for the rest of the message, we're gonna look at Deuteronomy 10. So in Deuteronomy 10:8, it says, "At the time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Only the Levitical priests were allowed to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and then only on their shoulders on poles that God instructed Moses to make." And so the Ark represented the presence of God. The Ark is where God dwelt. And so the priests carried the Ark. And do you realize that you and I carry the very presence of God? We are the temples, the tabernacles of God. We carry the presence. So when you go to school this year, students, you are not going alone. You're carrying the presence of the Almighty God with you. When you go to work tomorrow, you're carrying the presence of God, the power of God. And wherever, so everything that God has is available to you. His power, His authority. You carry the presence. Some of you, you live in a really rough home situation. When you go back in that home, you've got the presence of God with you. And we carry His presence. You are never alone. You're never alone. Here's the thing. Wherever the priests carried the Ark, God's presence made a difference. It made a difference. I want you to think of it this way. It's like the principle of diplomatic immunity. When an ambassador comes from another country to America, he is not subject to the laws of America. Okay? So I guess he could go 120 miles an hour, and even though he's pulled over, he can't be given a ticket. How many of you would say, "Man, I'd like to be an ambassador. I can handle that." But you see, the ambassador is not subject to the laws of another country. He's only subject to the laws of his country. It's a violation of national sovereignty for us to impose our laws on an ambassador of another country. Because, and here's the thing, wherever he sets foot, this ambassador, at that moment, wherever he's at, he is momentarily representing the nation that is his home country. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul said this. He says, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And friends, as a Christian, we are ambassadors for Christ, ambassadors for God. And so as we carry the Ark, we're carrying God's authority, His power, His kingdom. Because wherever we go, wherever we set our foot, in that moment, we have set up His country in that place. So as we walk through the world, God says, right now where you're at, I am letting you set up my kingdom. When someone is sick, you can bring the kingdom of healing. That's part of my kingdom. If someone is depressed and discouraged, you can bring my kingdom, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Someone's worried, you can bring the peace of the kingdom. We carry the kingdom. You have the authority of God with you. We many times do not realize the authority and the power that God has given us, His priests. Everywhere your foot goes, He will give you that. But honestly, me, there's a lot of times I'm not even thinking about God's authority being established in this moment. I'm so caught up in this temporary, in the kingdom of this world, of what's going on, that I'm not thinking about that eternal kingdom, that spiritual kingdom that God wants to set up in people's lives. But friends, we have the authority. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You have the authority." Say, "I've got the power." Okay, maybe you say it, don't sing it like I did, okay? Now you know why I'm not on the worship team. You can lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover because you're carrying the presence of God, His authority in that situation. You can pray for the person who's depressed, the person who's addicted, and believe for God to set them free, because Jesus, His power is in you. Carry the presence of God. As priests, we're unstoppable. We are unstoppable. Not because of anything we do. It's like I heard at the GLS, the Leadership Summit this weekend, you can, but you can't. You can do all things, but if you don't have God, you can do nothing. And so we can do it, but I've got to be connected to Him. And when I'm connected to Him, I can connect others to Him. Let's take a look at the last thing that priests do in ministering to people and connecting them to God. And that is, we bless people. Priests bless people. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. At the same time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before Him, to minister to Him, and to bless in His name to this day. We're to bless in His name. This verse contains something I have never picked up before. And that's why it's important to not just read your Bible, but to reread your Bible. If you've read it through once, read it through again, because there's always new nuggets to pick up. So we need to keep reading our Bibles and be people who are being in the presence of God. But this is what I picked up before. I always read that verse and I always thought it meant that we bless God, that we minister to God, we're worshiping God and saying how it is. But that's not what it says. It says, and to bless in His name. We are to bless other people in His name. It's all about others. And friends, that's the thing about priests. We minister to God, we minister to others. As a Christian, this life is not about me. John the Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease. Friends, if you're a Christian, I have a news break for you. Life is not about you. Life is not about you. It's not about your problems. It's not about your worries. It's not about your fears. Now, does God care about those? Yes, He does. And you know what? As priests, I can trust He'll take care of them. As a priest who is His son and His daughter, I can trust He's going to watch over. He gave His life on the cross for me, so He'll take care of everything else. And so I don't have to worry about those things. Life is about His desire. And His desire is people. Life is about others and God. And so I am to bless others. Now, this word bless means more than to make people feel good or to make them feel happy. Blessing calls forth a person's destiny. It calls forth one's future. We see this when the patriarchs bless their children. For example, when you look at Isaac's blessing of Jacob, it's in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 28. Isaac said to Jacob, "May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." You know what's interesting? This blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob really belonged to Esau. Jacob had killed an animal. His brother was very hairy. Now, I don't know how hairy he was, but so hairy that he put goat's hair on his arms and the back of his neck. And when his dad felt him, he says, "Yep, that's Esau." He says, "You sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau." How many think he needed meaning to go to a spa and get a body wax or something like that, you know? And so Esau, he gave the blessing that belonged to Esau, Isaac gave the blessing that belonged to Esau to Jacob, and the blessing stuck. You know who Esau's descendants were? The Edomites. Is Edom a nation anymore? No, they don't exist. Jacob's descendants, the Jews, the Israelites. And people have attacked the Jews, but God has blessed those who have blessed them. He's cursed those who's cursed Him. That blessing that Isaac gave centuries ago is still going strong today. That's the power of blessing. And that's, as priests, what we have been called to do. We are to call out people's destinies, to call out their futures, because God believes in them and their potential. So many times we look at people for who they are instead of how God sees them. We see them right now, but God sees them in the future and their potential as they surrender to Him. I am so glad that Barnabas was a priest who blessed John Mark. On the first missionary journey, when John left them early, and they go on a second trip, Paul said, John Mark wants to come with us again? No way. And Barnabas says, oh, he's coming with us. God has a destiny for this guy. And Paul says, no, he's not. Barnabas, yes, he is. No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Yes, he is. And the two finally split up. Many years later, when Paul is in prison, getting ready, most likely to be executed, he writes to Timothy and he says, hey, have John Mark come, because he is useful to me in ministry. We have the Gospel of Mark today. John Mark, he's the one that wrote that. All because one man was willing to see the potential in a kid who failed and says, God's not finished with you yet. There is so much God has in store for you. And friends, there's times we see people how they are now. Someone who's newly saved, and we write them off because we see all the junk in their life. Don't give up on anyone, because God did not give up on you. We forget. We sometimes think, oh man, I've got my life together. There was one time you were a jerk. There was one time you and I were severely messed up. And if you don't think you were messed up, you need to go back to the cross. He who has been forgiven much loves much. If you think, I didn't have much to be forgiven of, then you know what? The Bible says you don't love Him much. Until you realize how rotten a person you were, you won't have a great love to God. In fact, you probably won't be much of a priest. You might just be a Pharisee. Someone that looks good on the outside, but it's easy to judge everyone else. God wants us to bless people, and probably one of the biggest areas is blessing our kids. Parents, we must bless our kids. You say, Craig, how do I do this? At night, many times we go and we pray for them, and what do we pray for? Help them with this, help them with that, you know, help Aunt Jenny and her bunions, and help Uncle Leroy and his cirrhosis of the liver. We pray for needs. But as you're praying for your kids and for their needs, let the Holy Spirit guide you and show you the character traits. Man, you have a child that's really persistent. Sometimes so persistent, they're butting heads with you. You pray, God, I thank you for the persistence you've given to Johnny, and I pray that you'll take that persistence, and God, someday when they encounter a difficult situation where someone wants to just cover up and everything that's wrong, instead of standing for right, help Johnny to persist and say, no, we're going to do the right thing. I'm going to follow God. Lord, when Johnny is in that situation, and everyone else is saying, hey, you need to do drugs, do drugs, I pray that you'd use that persistence and say, no, I am not going to do drugs. I'm not going to drink the alcohol. I'm not going to party. I'm going to stand for God. See those traits that your kids have and begin to bless them in the future with it. Those talents, those giftings you see God developing in your kids, begin to pray for God to use them in ministry as a priest to connect others to God. How does God see your children? How does God see your spouse? How does God see your neighbor or your coworker who's unsaved? How does God see the person sitting next to you today? How does He see other people in the body of Christ? We need to say, God, open my eyes to see people the way you see them, and then to bless them in your name and to call out a destiny in a future. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Friends, God has a future and a hope for every single one of us here. And there's, you might need to hear that today, that God has a future for you. And there are some of us that God is saying, you need to realize that God has a future for that person in your life that you find really annoying. God has a future for us all. We are priests who minister to God. We give ourselves to Him, and we're connected to Him. And then we go out connecting others, serving His desire, serving people. That's what a priest does.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.